All right, good morning. I want to welcome you all to church today. Great to see you. My name's Brian, and I hope it's okay if I start with something funny. Are you guys okay with that today? Okay, good, good. Glad to hear that. I heard about three friends that were at a funeral, and you know how funerals can get you thinking. And one of them asked a very good question. They asked, "When you die and it's your funeral, what do you want your friends and family to say about you?" One man said, "I hope they say I was a good doctor and a family man." A woman said, "I hope they'll say I was an amazing wife and I was a teacher who made a difference in the lives of children." And the last guy thought about it for a second. He said, "I hope they say, look, he's moving!" I mean, I hope they say that. That would be crazy. Like, hey, everybody. Only Jesus gets to do that, right? Well, if you have your Bible, turn with me to 2 Timothy 4. And hopefully that joke makes sense as the morning progresses. We're in 2 Timothy 4. And what I want to say is this is a very unique chapter in the Scriptures. So if you have your Bible or you have your Bible app, go ahead and head over there. 2 Timothy is the last of 13 letters written by the Apostle Paul. And he's writing this in prison, in a Roman prison. And he knows that he is about to be sentenced to death for his faith in Jesus Christ. So this is his last letter. And we are in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And these are his last words to Timothy, most likely, certainly for us, these are the last words of Paul in our scripture, and he knows this. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to read it, he's going to say, "The time for my departure is near." And so what we're reading today and what makes it so unique and powerful is that today we are reading the last words of a dying man. And I want you to think about this for a second. If you knew you were going to die, what would you say? What would you want to say? What words of advice would you have for the people that you love? And I think about a guy named Randy Pausch. I don't know if you've heard of him. He was this charismatic and inspiring computer science professor at Carnegie Mellon University. He had a beautiful wife, three children, ages 5, 3, and 1. And in 2007, Randy was dying of pancreatic cancer. He was just 47 years old. And he was asked to give a last lecture. And the room was packed as he spoke about achieving your childhood dreams. It was not just a message for his students and colleagues. It was a message he wanted to leave for his children. The video of that lecture has been viewed over 18 million times on YouTube. And in this lecture, he speaks about the brevity of life. He says, "Time is all you have, and you may find one day that you have less than you think." And Randy died just 10 months later. I think about Steve Jobs, who also died of pancreatic cancer. In 2005, he gave the commencement address at Stanford University, and he was already facing his own death. He had already received that diagnosis. And it's interesting because Steve Jobs, in that commencement speech, called death the single best invention of life. Interesting. Saying, "Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life, because almost everything falls away in the face of death, leaving only what is most truly important." And that's what I think is so powerful as we get into 2 Timothy 4. Because everything falls away. And what remains is only what is most important. Steve Jobs, he died 6 years later. The video of that commencement address has been watched 27 million times. Think about another person who's inspired me, Irwin McManus. He's an author, he's a pastor. He's a speaker in Los Angeles. He has a book coming out. It's called The Last Arrow, Save Nothing for the Next Life. And in this book that he's that's just coming out, he's writing about being diagnosed with cancer. And he writes about writing a book that he thought was going to be his very last. And he wrote these powerful words. He said, I need to tell you before you hear it from someone else. I'm dying. But then again, so are you. What a powerful reminder. The truth is, we're all dying. We're all closer to that last day. And I think that what makes these speeches, what makes these books so powerful, is that it's the words of the dying that teach us how to live our life. They teach us to live now. They teach us the time is now and not to waste a single moment of our life. The time is now to do what is most important to do. And that's why I think 2 Timothy 4 is so unique and powerful. These are the last words of the Apostle Paul. If there was a video, it would have been downloaded 100 million times because of how it speaks to us. And Paul thinks these are his last words, and in our Bible, they are. So it's with great clarity that he writes. He's writing to Timothy, his son in the faith. And his last request for Timothy, this is at the end of 2 Timothy 4, he urges him to come before winter. So I used my computer and I sketched out a little map. You can all laugh at that because it's pretty, like, sad. But I found something where I could draw a line. So Paul is in Rome. Steph obviously didn't do this. It would have looked better. So Paul is in Rome. Timothy, he's a pastor in Ephesus. Paul's in prison. He knows the time is short. And he asks Timothy, he says, come before winter. Because Paul's not sure he's going to make it through the winter. Timothy's going to have to take a boat to get through the sea. And in the Mediterranean, when winter comes, that's when the storms come and the seas close. It becomes dangerous to embark on that voyage. And so Paul's saying to Timothy, come before winter. There are certain things that we have to do before winter comes. And winter's going to come for me, and winter is going to come for you. And that's why the time is now to live our lives, to do the things that are most important for us to do. Come before winter. Now is the time. Now is the time to live our life. But what is important for us to do? Paul's saying life is short, so what do we need to do now before winter comes? That's what we're going to learn about today from God's Word, and from 2 Timothy 4. So I want to pray. We're going to dive in to this inspiring passage of Scripture. So let's pray. God, thanks for this morning. Thank you that we can be here today and that you can speak to us, God. Lord, we invite you to speak to our hearts. Even as we think about our own mortality, even as we think about the brevity of life, God, I pray that you would spur us on to live now for the things that matter most, and to put aside all those things that slow us down and hinder us. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, to fight the good fight, and to run the race you've given us to run. Speak, God, in this time. Give us ears to listen, and the power to change our life, to do those things that matter most. We pray that in Jesus' name. Okay, so this morning I have three things for us from Paul to Timothy, from God to us, three things that are so important for us to do before winter comes. And here's the first one. Life is short. The time is now for purpose. Don't put off God's purpose for your life. The time is now for purpose. And I love how our passage opens up. If you got 2 Timothy 4 in front of you, we're going to start to walk through these verses. Our passage opens with Paul, a dying man who is charging Timothy to live with a purpose. 2 Timothy 4:1. Pick it up here, right at verse 1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And they will turn their ears away from truth and turn aside to myths. But you, Timothy, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist and discharge all the duties of your ministry. So we know that Paul is speaking with urgency because he says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. In season and out of season. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. As a preacher, as someone with an evangelist heart, man, I'm loving this. But this is not just for the preacher or the evangelist. Because all of us have a greater purpose for our life. And when we think about the brevity of life and we think about the shortness of life, the thing that is going to matter most at the end of our story is that we lived out God's purpose for our life. And God has a purpose for your life. And you have a ministry to fulfill. Do you know that? Do you believe that? That God has given you a ministry to the people around you. Yes, you have a ministry to your coworkers. You have a ministry to your classmates. You have a ministry to live out here in this church and out in that world. And the time is now to fulfill God's purpose for your life. And you can wake up tomorrow, Monday morning. Anybody here hate Mondays? You know, like Garfield the cat? Absolutely. And we can wake up tomorrow morning, and we can wake up and we go, you know what? Today's going to be another mundane day. Or you can wake up tomorrow morning and you can say, today is going to be a ministry day. Today is a day for me to serve people and love people and help people get closer to God. See, God has a ministry for you to fulfill. He has a purpose for your life. And I'm telling you, at the end of my story, when I breathe my last breath, I want the satisfaction of knowing that I fulfilled God's purpose for my life. And that's what we see with Paul as he's facing his own death. In 2 Timothy 4:6, we're going to keep reading. Paul has the satisfaction of knowing he's fulfilled God's purpose for his life. He says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering. The time for my departure is near. This is the end. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, with which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Not only to me, but also to all who've longed for his appearing. I love that. I fought the fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. What is he saying? There's no regrets. I fulfilled God's purpose for my life. Now is the time for purpose. Now is the time to do the things that God has asked us to do. I have some friends back in Colorado, the Woodwards, Chris and Summer, and they had a dream for a long time of buying a boat and sailing the world, especially sailing the Caribbean. Chris and Summer have two boys. They're in elementary school. They've got a house. They've got jobs. They've got Cub Scouts. They've got football practice. It's not exactly the ideal time to spend, you know, 3 or 4 years just sailing the world. I think most of us, we'd wait. We'd wait till our house is paid off. We'd wait till we retire. We'd wait till the kids move out. but not Chris and Summer. They couldn't wait for the dream that God had put in their heart. And God had put a drive in their heart. And this is how they put it. They had this drive, this is interesting, to live differently. Not just do what everybody else is doing. To widen their view of the world. Listen, to have their kids know than more than white suburbia in middle class America. So they quit their jobs. Good jobs. They took their kids out of a good school. Sold almost everything they owned. Went to Florida, they bought a boat. They've been boat schooling. Can't homeschool on a boat. They're boat schooling. And they're fulfilling the purpose that God has put on their heart. And you look on Facebook, yeah, they just survived a hurricane. We see the pictures. They're sailing. Is there the ocean? Their family time. The way they're serving and experience, getting a bigger view of the world. They're doing what God has put in their heart to do. And so many pictures, look at the pictures and they'll comment, oh, I'm jealous. Why are we jealous? Because they're getting to experience the ocean, family time. I think it's bigger than that. We're jealous because they had the courage to live now. So many of us, we don't have time for God. We don't have time for family. We don't have time for church. We don't have time for purpose. And I think someday, I think we're going to regret that. If you're not living out God's purpose for your life right now, come on, what are we doing? What are we doing? The time is short, and the time is now. To live out God's purpose for your life. Winter is coming. Now is the time for purpose. Number two, now is the time for people. As I think about the brevity of my own life, I think what would matter to me at the very end? I think it's the people. I think it's people. And it's interesting because what is on Paul's mind at the end of his life? It's people. Let's keep reading. 2 Timothy 4:9. Because actually, most of Paul's last recorded words are about people. 2 Timothy 4:9. Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved the world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. And Titus to Demalta. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychius to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm, and the Lord will repay him for what he's done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. So at the end of Paul's life, he's thinking about people. He's thinking about friends in ministry who are serving God around the world. Crescens, Titus, Tychius, they're all serving God in far, far away places. He remembers this guy, Demas, who just left him in a time of need, and that's on his, he's thinking about that. He's thinking about people and thinking about his life. He worries about Timothy, his son in the faith, because there's this guy, Alexander the metalworker, who opposed him and did him harm, and he wants Titus to be careful. About this guy, or Timothy to be careful about this guy. So he's thinking about that. He mentions Luke. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, Acts. Luke was this guy that traveled with Paul and wrote down That's why Luke wrote Acts, because he's traveling with Paul. He's experiencing all that. He was a trusted friend and companion. And even here at the end of Paul's life, there's Luke. Paul's in prison, and Luke is right there by his side. And for that, he's grateful. He mentions Mark. Mark, this is so amazing because of the backstory. He says, bring Mark. In Acts 15, we find out that Paul and Mark were like best buds. They were serving God together around the world. But in Acts 15, they have this sharp disagreement. Paul goes one way, Mark goes another way, and they never worked it out. And here's Paul at the end of his life. He says, bring Mark. I gotta work this out. And I think about so many of us have unresolved conflict in our life. Do we really want to carry that to the end of our life? See, life is too short. You got to work that out now. Please, life is short. Make that call. Work it out. Make things right. That's what Paul is doing here at the end of his life. See, now is the time for people. There's a woman, Bonnie Ware. She was a nurse for those who were dying. Did it for many years of her life. And she began to hear the regrets of the dying. She wrote a powerful article, The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. Can't go through them all, but I want to mention two. Two regrets of the dying. Number one, I wish I wouldn't have worked so hard. I wish I wouldn't have spent so much time at work. Regret of the dying. Number two, I wish I would have stayed in touch with my friends. Because in those last moments, what really matters are people. Not your work, not your money, people. I'll never forget the day I got a phone call and I learned that a 13-year-old boy in our church had suffocated to death. Was playing a choking game, died accidentally. It wrecked our church, wrecked the boy's family, 13 years old. I think if his parents were here today, speaking to us, I think they'd say the time is short. And the time is now. And they would say, hug your kids every chance you get. Tell them that you love them. I remember that day. I hugged my wife a little tighter. I hugged my daughter a little bit tighter. The time is now. Every day is a gift. And now is the time for people. Not for work, not for money. Those things are important. People. Let's not forget what matters most. Love the people God has put in your life. Now's the time for purpose. Now's the time for people. Last one. Now is the time for peace. Now is the time for peace. And the truth is, all of us will die. And in that moment, there's only one thing that's going to matter. Do you have the peace of God in your heart? It's the most important. Do you have peace with God? And at the end of Paul's life, he had this amazing peace with God. Listen to 2 Timothy 4:17. This is the peace that I want to have in my heart at the very end of my story. 2 Timothy 4:17. This is amazing. Paul says, everyone deserted me, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. Listen to this confidence. At the very end, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. I want that peace at the end of it all. The Lord will stand by my side and he will give me strength and he's going to bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. It's the peace Paul had. It's the peace we can have today. It's the same peace that David had Christu might speak about Psalm 23. And David says, Psalm 23, this is powerful words. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, for you are with me. There's a peace that comes from knowing that God is with you. Even in those last moments, last breaths, I want to know that God is with me. So don't wait till it's too late. Now is the time for peace. Now is the time for peace with God. And when death comes knocking at your door, and your last breath leaves your body, the only peace you can have in that moment is peace with God. Got to have peace with God. How do you get peace with God? Romans 5:1. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can have peace with God today through Jesus Christ, and through trusting Him, coming to Christ, asking Him to save you and to give you His peace. This is the peace that you can have in your heart. It's the peace that when you die and you stand before God, that you won't be rejected. That God won't be against you. Which is so amazing because we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all gone our own way. And in our sin, there is no peace with God. In our walking away from God, there is no peace with Him. And God is just as we stand before the judge of the living and the dead. He is just to judge us. He is just to leave us eternally separated from Him because we have run from Him. But here's what's amazing, and here's the peace that you can have today. I love it. John 3:16. God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son, so that whoever believes in Him will not perish, will have everlasting life. God loves you, and God died for you. He died for your sins. He bore the punishment of our sins, and He rose from the dead to give you life and to give you eternal life and a home in heaven. And the peace that you can have when you trust Christ today is that on that day, the Lord is going to be on your side. And that's the peace that I have in my heart through faith in Jesus Christ. Because that's what God's word says to us. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So don't wait for that. You don't have God's peace in your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to come to Jesus Christ, to invite Him into your heart and into your life and say, God, I need your peace. I need your peace. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for rising from the dead to give me true and lasting life. I receive that today. It's by faith in Christ. It's not by works. You don't have to earn it. But come to Christ and receive His gift of salvation. So winter is coming. Now's the time for purpose. The time for people, it's the time for peace. So important. I want to leave you with a closing story about a girl named Ligon Stevens. And she was just 20 years old when she died. She was a girl who loved God. She loved the mountains, as you can see. She loved climbing mountains. On January 10th, 2008, that's right, January, this is the middle of winter, Ligon was hiking with her brother Nick on Little Bear Peak, which is in the mountains of Colorado, and an avalanche swept her away, swept away her brother Nick. She died that day. She died in that avalanche. Her brother Nick managed to survive, and he was able to get Ligon's journal, and he brought it down, and he brought it out of the mountains. And the family has shared some of her writings, and they're so powerful. It's with great, you can just tell that God was a big part of her life. So I want to read you something from her journal that she wrote 1 year before she died. She said, "The time to live is now. The time to run and wake up every morning excited about the world might throw your way is now. The time to lay low in turmoil and humility before God is now. The time to seek and find, the time to change and learn is now. Let God transform you by changing the way you think. Let yourself be corrected and disciplined now. Now is the time to live, not tomorrow, not in 10 minutes, not in 20, not when you're good and ready. But don't think you have to do this and become this. Your full duty is to love the Lord so much that you would lay down your life and value his will above the richest gain of earth. Rejoice when he disciplines you. Look for him and wait for him in ways to please him. Be a desperate searcher. Yes, the time to live and to live truly is now. Amen? So I want to pray for us. So the time to live is now. The time to wake up is now. And to realize what's most important in life. So God, thank you for these words from Paul to Timothy. And we're reminded how short life can be. That every day is a gift. We don't know how many breaths we have. We don't know how many heartbeats we have until the very last. But we do know this. We know that the time is now. And the time is now to seek you out and to find you. And Jesus, you said that those who seek will find. And so I pray for each person here that we would have a desperation about life, that we would live each day to the full, that we know is the will of God, that we would not be distracted by so many things that steal and rob us of the precious time that we have. I pray, God, that you would help us to understand your purpose for your life. Thank you for the promise of the Psalms that says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Thank you, God, for the people that you've put in our life and the ministry that we have to those people. I pray that we would not forget that we are in this world for a reason. And we have a message to share. And we have lives to touch. And we have healing to bring and hope to bring. But it starts with us. And it starts with me and you. And it starts with having the peace of God in our heart. And I pray for any person in this room that doesn't know you, somebody who's searching, someone who's looking for peace, even in the face of sickness and death. And I pray that in this moment, you would come and you would minister your peace. And that we together would say, God, I trust you. God, I give my life to you. God, come and give me your peace. I need your peace today. And what the scripture says is that through faith in Jesus Christ, that you can have peace with God today. So come, God, and give us your peace. For those who don't know you, God, We cry out to you. We say, God, would you save me? Would you forgive me for my sins? Thank you for dying on the cross, for taking the punishment that I deserved, from rising from the dead so that I can have new life. Today, I confess my sins. Confess I wander from you. And by faith, I come and I invite you into my life. We pray, God, for all of us, that you fill us up with your Holy Spirit and with your peace, and we will live for you, fully for you, each and every day of our lives. And we thank you for the days you give us. Help us to live them to the full. We pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, you can stand as we close our service.